I want to thank those that were able to participate on Sunday night. We had 29 bodies out to distribute the gifts and, of course, the gospel. And we had a good time. And afterwards, we were able to come back to the church and had some hot chocolate and some Timbits and some fellowship. And I really believe we had a lot of people that received those gifts. And we had our particular group had a lot of people home. And I'm grateful for that. Some were happy to accept the gifts. Some were a little bit nervous. And someone had made the comment to my wife out on this in our group. She said, "You've restored my faith in humanity." So I think it was just a pleasant that people were able to see the joy of the Lord. And of course, that's what we were trying to do. So thank you for those who participated. Also, thank you for your prayers on behalf of Pastor McLean and Mrs. McLean and their family. They made just a lightning fast trip down to Cincinnati this week to do the funeral for Mrs. McLean's dad. And that was yesterday. Some of you perhaps were able to watch that. I was. And what a wonderful tribute to a man who served the Lord for many decades. And I say lightning fast trip because they jetted back and arrived back today. But continue to pray, of course, for Mrs. McLean and her family and those as they adjust. Of course, Mrs. McLean's mother, Jean Wilson, pray for her that the Lord would continue to give her grace and strength through this time. All right, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1 tonight. I'm excited about the Bible study this evening, and I was excited about it actually last Wednesday night as well, because I, Lord willing, last Wednesday night I wanted to talk about Mary, and tonight I want to talk about Joseph. And, you know, it's interesting. There's not a lot content regarding Joseph in Scripture, not this Joseph, of course. If we're talking about Joseph of Israel back in Egypt and being sold into slavery, there's lots and lots of information in the Bible about him. But Joseph is one of those characters. There's not a ton of things about him, but what we do know about him, I hope will be a blessing to you tonight. So I was listening to the funeral for Mr. Wilson yesterday, and it was mentioned that Moses Wilson was often ready and prepared to talk about his Savior. And he often would take advantage of that opportunity. He was able to participate in conversations and talk about Jesus and how he came to know the Lord. He was prepared to talk about Jesus. And I thought about that yesterday. And, you know, have you ever been around someone who is like that? They're just able to talk to people. And maybe you're out with friends and all of a sudden they strike up a conversation with someone about Christ. And you thought to yourself, oh, man, I totally missed that. I should have done that myself. And my kids are good at this. They'll say, "Hey, Dad, give that person a track," you know, as we're out and about, or "give our waitress a track." And we were given some $5 Tim Horton gift cards recently to give to people in order to strike up conversations about the gospel. And you would not believe how we put those, and some of those, in the door of our van. And you know how when you get to a red light, there's often someone there who needs help or has a sign. So what we did was we took that Tim Horton's gift card, and we gave that to that person along with a gospel tract from our church, encouraged them to read it, let them know here's for your physical food, and this is for spiritual food. Please pay close attention and read it. And you never know. You know, they're able to get a meal and then able also to read something about salvation. So you never know when you're going to have an opportunity to glorify the Lord and to share the gospel. But you know what? You will never see those, and you'll certainly never take those if you are not prepared to do so. And so we obviously, as Christians, have a wonderful story to tell, a wonderful testimony to give of salvation. So let me ask you this tonight. This is the general question I want us to consider. Are you prepared to share your faith? And what does that preparation look like? How do you prepare to share your faith? And how do you prepare others like those that perhaps are under your leadership, possess that kind of faith? So parents in particular, how are we going to prepare our children and ourselves to share our faith? Whether it be preparation for the challenges you face, I guess if I were to title this broadly tonight, besides if we're just going to put Joseph aside, it would be a faith that's prepared, a faith that is prepared. So we never know when we're going to have an opportunity to share our faith, whether it be preparation for challenges that we face, temptations that we face, or opportunities you have to share the gospel. What does the preparation of faith look like? Well, thankfully, the Bible is from cover to cover full of stories of faith. And when you look at the scripture, you know, just in your head right now, start making a list of people in the Bible who pleased the Lord, and almost every story, it will be because of their faith. That's why we often read, both in the New Testament and the Old Testament, Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "The just shall live by faith," or "Thy faith has saved thee," "Thy faith had made thee whole." Many of the characters in Scripture that please the Lord, you'll read this about. And many of the characters of the Christmas story were able to function the way that they did because they were men and women of faith, and they were prepared. Last week, we looked at the preparedness and the purity of Mary. And I hope you're touched by that, as well as challenged by that. She was, most theologians have her at the age of 14 or 15 years old when this is taking place. Can you imagine that as you get older, of course, 15 seems so much younger, 16 years old. It seems when you're 16, you're ripped and ready to get out there and face the world, right? I remember I was living my entire life for my 16th birthday, because in Oklahoma, that's when you could get your driver's license. And if you hadn't done any driver training before then, when you turned 16, you could get your permit and then for 2 weeks drive, and then 2 weeks later get your driver's license. And I couldn't wait to do that. I was living for 16, but now I look back and I'm thinking 16 is way too young to drive. I tell you, these kids are not ready for this business. But you know, that's just me now as an adult. But as a kid, I would have fought with you over those words, right? But this is how young she is. Incredible to think about. And Joseph is generally believed to be about 16 years old when all of this is taking place. That is just remarkably young when you consider it. Humanly speaking, the only way that they could fulfill the roles that God had given them was if they were well prepared. Now, obviously, the Lord is helping them and is a part of this, but our knowledge of Joseph, as I said in the beginning, is a bit limited, which, by the way, is also instructive in and of itself. And what I mean by that is we know about the angel appearing to him and his presence when Jesus was born. We know about him taking Jesus to the temple when he was 8 days old. We know about the angel appearing to him and warning him to get out of Bethlehem because of Herod, and they go to Egypt. We also know that he took his family annually to the feast of the Passover. So we know he was alive until the Lord was 12 years old. But after that incident, we don't hear about Joseph again. And so the assumption is that Joseph died sometime before the earthly ministry of Jesus began. And of course, the key word there is assumption. And if I spark your curiosity tonight to know more about Joseph, perhaps you'll just have a question when you get to heaven. So, hey, what happened to Joseph and how did his life finish out? So we don't know a lot. But what we do know about his story gives evidence to extraordinary faith. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it this way before, but what a great story of faith when it comes to Joseph. So I'm going to ask you to immerse your imagination in Joseph's life and what this must have been like for him when he found out that his wife-to-be was with child. Let's begin reading in Matthew chapter 1. And did I ask you to turn there already? And of course, you're just used to turning there because I've been preaching a lot out of this passage. But Matthew chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 18, and we'll stop for just a second after that. Verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." So, okay, so that this is just probably need to stop there for a couple of reasons. The details here are very important. We have talked much about the Gospel of Matthew, and this is really the whole basis for my sermon series recently on the grace and the line of Christ, and all the women that we talked about in the line of Christ for the last month on Sunday morning. So Matthew presents Jesus to the nation of Israel as king. That is his emphasis. And so that's why we see the genealogy there in the first 17 verses. If you compare this gospel to Mark, now Mark presents Jesus as the servant. And so there's no genealogy found in Mark, because the birth line of a servant is not important. But when you think about Christ from the perspective of being the promised king who will one day sit on the throne of David, genealogy is crucial. So just a little tidbit of info for you there. Now, if you glance over these verses, you find this formula. And if you've paid attention the last several weeks, you're no stranger to this passage. But, you know, you read through Matthew 1, it says so-and-so begat so-and-so. And it's primarily about the fathers, right? But there are a few women mentioned, and of course, just go back and watch in the line of grace. We study through these, but always along with husband and father until you get to verse 16. Now, we didn't read that, but let's look at it. Verse 16 of Matthew chapter 1. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom? Of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Now, that is important already. A careful reader will notice something special about the birth of Jesus Christ, right? Something unusual. Specific language is used to show that somehow Jesus was born of Mary without apparent involvement by Joseph. So how that occurred becomes clear, of course, in the next verses. But Matthew's already alluding to that as early as verse 16. Now, the first verse we read needs some clarification as well. It told us that Mary was espoused to Joseph. Now, I think tonight's crowd knows what an espousal is or a betrothal. It was a marriage of sorts. Of course, it was. There were some things when you were espoused to someone that were definitely clear. Once a couple became espoused, they abstained from seeing each other. They abstained from sexual relations. They were considered husband and wife, right? So it was a binding agreement. It was formal. So they still lived separately, but they were called husband and wife at that point in the relationship. And so to dissolve an espousal, which would happen sometimes because of infidelity during that espoused period, there actually had to be a divorce. Now, the verse also told us that during this espoused period, it generally lasts about 12 months, Mary was found with child. Now, that is an immediate red flag, and for obvious reasons, right? What's going on here? So for those who were here last week when we studied Mary and her preparedness and purity from Luke chapter 1, where would this fit into that story chronologically? So did the angel visit Mary before what this verse is talking about or after? Well, it was obviously after because the answer is before, because the angel was telling Mary about something that would happen in Luke chapter 1. So now she's with child and it obviously happened. So let's go a little bit further now. Look at verse 19 of Matthew chapter 1. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, I don't want any word to go unnoticed as we read these next few verses, okay? Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily, privately, secretly. Okay, verse 20, but while he thought on these things, that's important, he's not jumping to rash conclusions. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So there's a lot of things there. I don't want us to skip over some important words. So after this, in chapter 2, the next few verses will talk about the wise men. But I want to pick up the story in chapter 2 in verse 13. So the wise men came, did their thing, gave their gifts. And now verse 13 says, and when they were departed, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son? And then, of course, Herod was really upset. He was mad. He was angry. They did that. They left him there. And we read through here and verse 23, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. There's lots of fulfilled prophecy in this as well. And I'm going to point something out to you here in just a few minutes about how that angel, the appearance of the angel, is not the event to talk about. The angel actually pointed to prophecy, to scripture. And so it all goes into what Joseph was prepared to happen. Now, obviously, this is not how he thought his life was going to go, right? You know, when I'm espoused at 16 to my wife, of course, she's going to get pregnant, but it's not going to be me. It's going to be the Holy. This is not what he thought was going to happen. But tonight, I want us to think about and learn from some characteristics of Joseph's faith. And I think this is what prepared him to serve God well. And we can learn from this as well to serve God well by being prepared of our faith. So first of all, Joseph had a merciful faith. He had a merciful faith. Now think about it. Why would we say Joseph had a merciful faith? Did he show mercy in this story? Let's think about this, because there's a lot to be learned from that phrase in verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Essentially, when this happened, Joseph had three options that he could go with. He could have appealed to Old Testament law. Now, Harvey's going to put up Deuteronomy chapter 22 in verse 23 and 24, and you can write these down if you want, or even turn there. I just want you to see these verses, because this, he could have appealed to Old Testament law. And it says this in Deuteronomy 22 in verse 23. If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto an husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then ye shall bring them both out unto the gate of that city, and ye shall stone them with stones that they die. The damsel, because she cried not being in the city, and the man, because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife, so thou shalt put away evil from among you. So the penalty for this kind of apparent behavior during the betrothal or espoused period was being stoned to death, right? So it was, there was a general softness, of course, at this point during this period of history, and coupled with Roman involvement, there was a general softness to biblical law during this time. So there's no evidence that this penalty would have been carried out. But at least from an Old Testament perspective, you can see how important purity was to the Jewish people. It was important. Chastity was considered to be among God's people very important. So that's one option. He could have appealed to the law. Option number two, Joseph could have called for a public condemnation of Mary. There would have been some sort of public shame placed on her, because remember, the scripture says he was a just man. He was a just man. She had embarrassed him or shamed him. At least it would certainly would have appeared that way from his perspective. So this option would be to put shame on her where it belonged. So when the baby eventually was born, it would not appear that he was involved, and his reputation would be preserved. And when you think about the argument of the text, this is probably what you would have expected Joseph, who was a just man, to do. He would have really wanted to protect his reputation from being marred. And then another option would be a private divorce. And as we said before, even an espousal or a betrothal could only be broken with some sort of divorce. But here's the point. Okay, these are just options that he had. Obviously, there was another option, and that was to take your time and consider what's going on, to put her away privily, right? So I want you to notice here that Joseph was not focusing on how he had been hurt. That speaks volumes when you think about it. How many times do we respond so quickly? I've been so hurt by this. Oh, that's, and perhaps we lash out. You know, he wasn't focused on how he'd been mistreated or betrayed, as it certainly would appear at this point. That was not his concern. He did not want to disgrace the woman that he loved. That is merciful faith. That's tender righteousness. And by the way, the Bible speaks many times about the importance or the centrality of mercy in Scripture, does it not? Now, we, of course, don't know what Joseph was specifically thinking or what scriptures perhaps were motivating him and directing him to respond the way he did. But here's a couple of verses I'll just share with you that talk about mercy in the Old Testament. Psalms chapter 18 in verse 25, it says this, "With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright." Psalms chapter 25 and verse 10, it says, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies." And then Micah 6:8, you're likely familiar with this. "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to what? Love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." So we don't know for sure, perhaps, what scriptures may have been motivating Joseph, but we do know somewhere, somehow, in advance of receiving a potentially devastating news about his fiance, he had cultivated, he had prepared himself with merciful faith. And this is a kind of a cool and relevant thing for us to learn from today. We ought to be prepared where our reaction to something that could be, you know, and I asked you to immerse yourself in his imagination. Imagine what it must have been like. How are you pregnant, right? You're my wife-to-be. This is a betrothal. This something is going on here. No, he didn't respond with his emotions immediately. He considered the situation. He had prepared himself with merciful faith. You know, this is a good lesson for us to learn tonight. You know, if, as you think about what God has for us at this Christmas time and what God has for us in the coming year, would mercy be an important element of that? I tell you what, the world is needing mercy today. If you watch the news, if you follow the political climate, everything is so charged up. One side is pitted so heavily against the other, and no one side has mercy for anybody, right? It's terrible to witness. And if we wanted to flesh this out a bit, I would say something along these lines. You know, if you're going to be interacting with your family and friends this Christmas, of course, in groups of less than 10, in case Big Brother's watching the live stream tonight, can I gently caution you to say, do everything you can, if you will, to avoid a harsh or judgmental or holier-than-thou attitude towards your family members or friends who do not know the Lord. You know, we ought to respond differently than everyone else, even if we disagree with their viewpoints, even if we don't agree with what they're saying. Be merciful, be Christ-like with someone who may view the world differently than you do. Joseph was prepared to respond mercifully to this news of Mary's pregnancy. Now, what else can we learn or see about Joseph's faith? So first of all, he had merciful faith. Secondly, he had cautious faith. You can imagine what was going on emotionally. By the way, one of the unanswered questions here that we don't really know was whether Mary even tried to explain all of this to Joseph. You know, either she kept it to herself or she tried to tell him and he didn't believe her. We just simply don't know. But what we do know is the first words in verse 20 of Matthew chapter 1, and they're very instructive. It says, "But while he thought on these things..." Now, that's important for this reason. It didn't say, "Now Joseph flew off the handle and sent Mary away." No, no. Joseph thought, while he thought on these things. What does that tell us? Well, this teenager was not impulsive or flighty. You can imagine all the things possibly he may have wanted to say, all the steps that perhaps he wanted to take. But the emotional component of this, I think it probably must have been incredible for him, but he did not respond based on his emotions. Notice this important point. He was more than his emotions. He was more than his emotions. He did not let that take precedent. He had faith. His belief system, his knowledge of Scripture, his mercy that he had somehow known and prepared for. The emotional component of this, I think, was pretty important, but still, he was not and did not react according to his emotion. Now, I've heard this referred to, maybe it was in Bible college, and maybe I've heard it since, but I've heard this referred to as the holding principle. Have you ever heard that concept before? The holding principle would be when you receive such news as perhaps Joseph did here, instead of reacting with an emotional outburst, with anger, without thinking it through, just take a moment, you know, sit down and shut up, you know, and don't, pardon my language tonight, especially you youngins, but I tell myself that all the time. Wait a minute, before you respond, sit down and shut your mouth and listen to the Lord. Think about this, pray about this, consider this. Consider what is going on, the holding principle. Romans chapter 14 and verse 23 says this, "And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." In other words, people who are concerned about pleasing the Lord are cautious. They are careful, and that's an important characteristic of their faith. And I'm sorry, that's exactly what I see Joseph doing there in verse 20 when he thought about these things. But while he thought on these things, think about the opportunities that the Lord may give you over the next couple of weeks or over the next year in 2022. You're not one of those persons who acts first and thinks later, are you? You're not one of those persons who lives by your feelings, are you? You're not one of those persons who's impulsive and careless. You know, think about that. Perhaps part of what the Lord would want to do for all of us tonight is to remind us of the importance of being like Joseph, a man who possessed faith that was merciful, faith that was cautious. You know, if it's doubtful, don't do it. Take a step back and consider and think about these things. You know, James chapter 1 and verse 19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." I wonder if we choose our words carefully before we speak, right? Do we do that? We should do that, shouldn't we? Because have you ever said something you wish you could just come back in here, mouth, get in my mouth words. I did not want that to come out. Hopefully we're careful with that. When you become angry, do you slow down long enough to carefully think about the way that you're expressing your anger and if it honors the Lord? What about in the way that we spend our money or the way that we make decisions or the way that we handle temptations? Are we like Joseph, who is demonstrating some cautious faith? But while he thought on these things, not in an angry rage when he exploded verbally. No, he considered these things. He thought about these things. Another characteristic of his faith is that he had a confident faith. He did. And this is kind of neat to look at. The angel in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20 said what angels often say, "Fear not." You know, if I'm ever approached by an angel, I would like to hear those words as well, right? Ah, you know, fear not. They were common words in Scripture. Now, there was a lot more information about what was happening here than Joseph currently possessed in his mind. Many times, if you're a walk with the Lord, you'll know this. Many times, the fear melts away when you understand more of what God is doing and what he desires. You know, that's why waiting is often the best option if you're not sure what to do, because it results in peace. And he had this confident faith. Isaiah chapter 26 in verse 3, perhaps you know this verse well. It says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is temporary strength." No, in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That's verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 26. See, don't be afraid. You can be at peace even when you feel like the rug of your world has been pulled right out from underneath you. That is confident faith. Joseph is exhibiting these characteristics. Now, you might say, well, sure, Pastor Tricky, you know, if I had an angel come and told me what was going to happen and what I was supposed to do, then, yeah, you know, that'd be all fine and dandy. I would be able to respond better. But you know what? Please remember this all-important detail. God's kind of faith is always grounded in his word. Always. God's kind of faith is always grounded in his word. And by the way, that is what the angel does for Joseph in the following verses. The angel just connects some scriptural dots here for him. Okay, he approaches Joseph, and this is he says, "This is of the Holy Ghost. Jesus, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." By the way, that is why the conception had to occur that way, right? Matthew reports in verse 22. The angels continuing. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled of that which was spoken. So what was in prophecy of old, spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Don't miss this tonight. Don't miss this. You see, what is most significant here is not that an angel appeared to him, but that an angel appeared to him and helped him begin to view his circumstances through the lens of Scripture, right? This, that it may be foretold, or that it may be fulfilled what was told in Scripture. The angel is bringing to Joseph's mind what he no doubt had learned and was prepared to hear. And these are the things that comforted him as he began to look at his situation, a pregnant wife that he hasn't touched, to see the prophecy, to see the Scripture, and to know that this is coming together. So it's not the event of the angel, which in a dream, which of course may have been, you know, quite monumental in his life, but it's important to note that the angel pointed out what God had already said. And guess what we have? We have what God has said. This is his word to us, his revealed word that we can go to and look to and study and be encouraged by. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? It's one of the main points that I want to make sure that I make this evening. If we want to be prepared as a individual or a congregation for what God has for us at Christmas, what God has for us in the new year, that comes, my friend, from massive doses of Scripture. That is how you prepare for what God has for you. If you want a merciful faith, my friend, that comes from a greater understanding of God's word. If you want a cautious faith, that comes through Scripture. If you want a confident faith, you receive that from God's word. Can I ask you, as you think back over the past year, have you been feeding your faith? Have you been feeding your faith? Because the only way to do that is through the Word of God. You feed it from the Word of God. If your knowledge of the Word of God, your understanding of the Word, your appreciation of the Word of God, is it greater than it was a year ago? Because if it is, get ready for opportunity to view your life through and your circumstances through the lens of Scripture. Has God put a person in your life who possesses this kind of faith? You know, who is a good example? Kids, maybe, who have parents who are merciful, or you have a friend who wants to drive you in the direction of scriptural truth and is encouraging you. These are just wonderful ways for us to grow our faith. So Joseph, he had merciful faith, he had cautious faith, he had confident faith, he also had obedient faith. Look now at verse 24. His faith, he had an obedient faith. I never noticed this before until I prepared for this sermon tonight. Verse 24 says, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. So when he woke up, he didn't say, oh, I don't know if I'm going to handle this or not. He didn't go to the wise people in the village and say, hey, I got this situation that I just don't know what I'm going to do. I'm in trouble. No, no, no. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. He obeyed and took unto him his wife. So he just obeyed. Folks, a 16-year-old teenage boy, and give or take a year or two, doesn't matter. You know, we look at this adolescent who is prepared to believe and to trust and to follow Mary, the same story we studied her last week, prepared to follow the Lord. Apparently, there wasn't a whole lot of time between when Joseph knew what God wanted him to do and when he did it. And I wonder if that's true of our faith. You know, when God tells you to do something, are you willing to do it and obey and follow through? Is that true of your faith? Think about the steps of obedience that you took this last year in your life to follow the Lord. You know, it may be trusting Christ as your Savior. It may be joining the church. It may be growing. It may be being baptized. It may be serving, worshiping. Joseph had obedient faith. He followed what the Lord had told him to do. He finalized his marriage. The Scripture said, took unto him his wife, and did not know her in the biblical sense until Jesus was born. And so he followed through on his commitment. He took Christ to the temple. We know from the Gospel of Luke that Joseph follows God's word in the way that Jesus was raised. Luke chapter 2 and verse 22, just to give you a quick example, it said, "And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." Luke also tells us that each year, Joseph took his family to Jerusalem to observe the Passover because that's what God's word had taught him. So he had this obedient faith. He followed the Lord. So Joseph, tonight we've talked about his merciful faith, his cautious faith, his confident faith, his obedient faith, and finally tonight, his courageous faith. When Herod was trying to kill Jesus, an angel told Joseph to move his family to Egypt. That's exactly what Joseph did. And if you're a man here tonight or listening to receive that kind of command, say, hey, you got to move, take up your family and go. That's big stuff, right? That's a big move. And Joseph did not hesitate. He did exactly what he was told, and that takes courage, and that's the mark of faith. Courage comes from faith in the Lord, and God gives us courage to obey, to follow him, and to live out all of these characteristics that we've looked at tonight. These clear markers of Joseph's faith are good ways that we should be training our children to learn, and we should be asking the Lord to give us and to help us as we live our Christian life, living by the book. By the word of God, you know, faith cometh by hearing, and disciplining ourselves for the Lord, disciplining our children. You know, I read something, I can't remember who posted it. It was a well-known author, a well-known family author, and he was talking about how we discipline our children. You know, and you can put the fear in your children and tell them, better not do that because I said so. And that works while you have the upper hand in that child's life. But when they are no longer afraid of you, they need to know that they should, that they need, there's a reason why we're obeying God, right? So we obey because we love the Lord. We obey because God tells us to. We follow because of what the Lord tells us to. There's an important verse in Proverbs. I can't remember the exact passage, but I love the verse. It says, buy the truth and sell it not. And then interesting, buy the truth and sell it not. What does that mean? Value the truth. Value the word of God. Grow your faith by sinking onto that truth and not letting it go. Don't sell the truth. Sacrifice for it. Cultivate faith with works. Joseph was prepared for a very important role in history that he had no clue that he was going to fulfill one day as he was growing up, but he was ready because he had faith in the word of God. He was ready to follow, and it's a great example for you and I tonight, and I hope that will be a challenge to you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the many ways that you have blessed us, Lord, and in particular, I'm just so thankful for your word, and Lord, I thank you for showing me things and teaching me things, and Lord, for your spirit to guide me, and I just am unworthy of that, but I'm so grateful for it at the same time. And Lord, I would pray that myself included and those that are within the sound of my voice would heed the scripture, that when you are speaking to their hearts and convicting them and challenging them, Lord, that they would not waste that, but would do make decisions to follow, to obey, to do whatever it is that you've challenged them through your word to do. Help us respond to your word tonight. Thank you for the example of Joseph and Mary, and what an important role they were able to play in our salvation. We thank you for that. We thank you for salvation itself. In Jesus' name, amen.